Thank you very much for that gracious introduction. I do appreciate the fact that we are focusing on retirees today because back in the 70s, you may not realize this, but back in the 70s, I was so uncool. It may not look like it today, but back then, I was not uncool. I was so uncool. That is definitely the truth. We're talking about Psalm 23, and so the catching title today is A New You. See the play on words? It's one of the things that we kind of do. It's a nuance that we do here. The other thing that we do here is the importance of alliteration. So, with that in mind, over the next course of a few moments here in this morning, I want to invite you into two participation points. We've got the alliteration stuff coming. There it is. Yeah. Invite you into two participation points. I'm going to introduce to you three types of poverty, and then I want you to experiment with one action initiative. All right? So we've got two participation points, three types of poverty, and one action initiative for you today. Back in the 70s, and there was a concert this yesterday down at the park, and it was all 70s music, and there were so many seniors there. I don't know where they came from. But we had great music back in the 70s. This was for Marcello because I know that he probably really appreciated the youth music from the 70s. You know, so you get your Bic out and you go, oh yes, I remember the youth music from the 70s. We sang important songs like If I Had a Hammer. And we sang that heartfelt One Tin Soldier. But my favorite was probably I Just Want to Be a Sheep. I just want to be a sheep. So I want you to turn to the person close to you and say to them, I'm feeling very sheepy today. Just go ahead. Go ahead. Try it. Try it out. Try it out. I'm feeling very sheepy today. Yeah. See how easy that participation was? See, that it works all the time. I want you to embrace your inner sheepiness today. It's important. Isaiah tells us that we are all like sheep. And the psalmist begins in Psalm 23 with a critical theological statement, but also he starts with a universal truth. The Lord is my shepherd. We all have shepherds in our life. We all have things that influence us, that lead us, that guide us. And you might be saying, well, not me. I'm independent. I do my own thing. Well, that's what's leading you. Your misconception. We all have things that lead us. The psalmist indicates and cherishes the fact that the Lord is his shepherd. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. And the psalmist affirms an interesting and dynamic theological truth when he says, I shall not be in want. God initiates this concept in Deuteronomy when he says to the ancient Israelites, there will be no poor among you, Deuteronomy 15, verse 4. But then later on in the same passage in verse 11, he says, you will always have the poor with you. Jesus says the same thing in Matthew 26, that there will always be poor. The first type of poverty I want to introduce to you is this, the poverty of stuff. The lack of food, the lack of shelter, the lack of clothing, the poverty of stuff. I believe that at the root, poverty is a spiritual condition. And that wherever there is the greater evidence of poverty within our communities, that is the greater evidence of the abandonment of trusting God. It's seen in a couple of ways. Poverty of stuff is seen by those who hoard, thinking that my salvation is in the stuff I hold. And it's seen in those who lack everything. Fortunately, we here in our church, we have a great emphasis on generosity. And it's fantastic. And so here's one action initiative. Joseph mentioned that retirees are involved in the food program. That's fantastic. We've got the food program. We've got the food share. We've got the care fund. We've got the attic program. We've got the breakfast program. If you're not doing something yet, do something. Get involved. Do something that indicates what God has generously given to you. The first type of poverty is the poverty of stuff. The second type of poverty is spiritual poverty. The psalmist says this in verse 3, "He restores my soul." Poverty of the soul. Jesus again talks about being the good shepherd, and he says he calls his sheep by name. Poverty of the soul is a lack of identity, a lack of understanding of who we are. The psalmist says in Psalm 139 that he has knit us together in our mother's womb. Verse 14, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Our identity is that we have been created by God to worship God as his treasured children. John, in the beginning of John, talks about being the child of God. We are treasured, we are valued, we are honored, we are respected, we are cherished. There is no situation or circumstance that can separate us from the love of God. So here's participation point number two. I want you to do this. I want you to say, "I'm God's treasure," and then clap. All right? The reason for that is that we clap when we affirm something, right? We you know, like, "Yay, I like this," you know. But it also, what it does is that it anchors it into our brain. So I'm going to say a few phrases, and then I just want you to repeat them and clap, okay? Can we practice the clap part? You're just looking at me like sheep. All right, there we go, there we go. Good, good. So I am God's treasure. You got to say it. Obviously, I'm lacking in my description capabilities here. All right, let's try again. I'm God's treasure. I am honored by God. I am God's child. I am loved by God. Yeah, perfect. And the reason for that is that the enemy of your soul is going to come along and try to distract you and try to fill your mind and try to fill your soul with discouragement that says you're not loved. You're not valued. You're not treasured. You're a lost sheep. Nobody cares. What does the Bible say? "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." James 4. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what do you need to do? In the night times, in the day times, when these thoughts come, you go, "No, that's not true. I am God's treasure. I am loved by God. I am a child of God." Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Another action initiative. The third type of poverty is seen in verse 5. He says, "He anoints my head with oil." Oil is a symbol and has been used for demonstrating being treasured, being valued, as King David was anointed with oil. It's setting aside the priesthood as the priests were anointed and set aside for God. First Peter tells us that we are priests and kings of God. But it also speaks about healing, the Good Samaritan coming and using oil to heal. Poverty of the mind is the poverty of wrong thinking. Wrong thinking about ourselves, wrong thinking about others, wrong thinking about God. What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 12, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And Paul also says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Renewing the mind. Here's my highly biased opinion for you, as if I haven't been sharing that already. This may be your first time here at church, or your second, or in frequent visit here, and you're thinking, wow, this is a bit different. But you've come for a reason. You've come because there's something that's nagging at you. There's a worry, there's a thought, there's a fear, there's an anxiety, there's something that has just gripped you, and you're just thinking, I've got to find something that helps. I want to present just one more final initiative for your consideration. Isaiah says this, "We are all like sheep, and we've all gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He's talking about Jesus, but why would God do that? Like that seems unjust. We're the ones who've gone astray. Paul in Romans says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all messed up. And in that mess up, we recognize that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But God demonstrated his own love to us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still separated from God, while we were still mired in our guck, Christ died for us. And what does he ask us to do? He asks us to recognize that we are dearly loved, that we are treasured, that we are honored, that we are cherished, that is the space and the place that we should be. If we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Here's the initiative for your consideration. If you've come here not knowing God, well, now is your chance to know him personally. If you've come here thinking, I just don't think I belong, well, now's your chance to belong. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to experience and feel like you are dearly treasured. Not just philosophically, but in reality. He wants those things that have been clogging your heart and clouding your mind and stealing your joy to be gone. And all you have to do is confess and come to him and say, Jesus, I've messed up. And pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I've messed up with myself and with others and with you. I need your help. I need your healing. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. Please take over my life. Come and change me. Come and help me. Help me to follow you. Now, if that's a prayer you want to pray, if that's something that you want to experience, a touch of God, a presence of God with you going forward, the music team's going to come up and they're going to sing a couple of songs, and I'm going to ask you to do something really, really courageous. Because the enemy of your soul is going to want to cloud your mind with fear and doubt right now. And the enemy of your soul is going to say, oh, you don't have to do anything about it. Just keep it private. Just let it sit with you. You know, it's just you and God. That's all it is. It's nothing else. That's enemy talk. Because you want to tell God and you want to tell people that you are going to trust God. And it takes courage to do that. And to demonstrate the first step of courage in your life of obedience to Jesus Christ is to get out of your chair and come to the front and ask somebody to pray with you. And say, I just want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be a lost sheep anymore. I don't want to feel abandoned. I don't want to feel left out. And if that's you, there's going to be people up here, and just come on up and ask somebody to pray with you. And say, Jesus, I'm yours.